Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Practical Spirits Podcast, Power 5 Seek to Teach Ministries. I am your host, Kaheem, and my co-host will be dialing in shortly. This is a follow-up from our show on Tuesday. We opened it up with talking about the Gospels, looking at the literary aspect, looking at the cultural impact, and just various aspects of the life of Jesus, you know, the importance of giving different perspectives, giving multiple views on the just the amazing, really the 33 years and looking at the ministry, and then also just how the gospel fits into the canon of scripture, comparing some things against the Old Testament scripture, some of the shadows and types that are there, and we highlighted just a few factors as far as the background of some of the authorship of the gospel. So the show was such a powerful show, and it was definitely something that lends to more discussion. And my co-host and I'll be, who will be joining us shortly, we talked about it after the fact and decided that, you know, not only did we want to continue this discussion, but we want to really gear our next few discussions around things centered around the gospel, because there's so much in that, and it's really the basis of, you know, what we do when we say seek to teach. Teaching and preaching is really sharing the gospel, which is also synonymous with the good news. So before I introduce the co-host, I just want to remind you all, please remember to subscribe to the podcast. You can, of course, listen back on Blog Talk Radio, but you can subscribe using the Apple Podcast app or Google Podcasts. If you have an Android device, you have access to the full back catalog from day one when we started a few years back. You can get any of those podcasts there. So I do have my co-host on as well. Brother Rob, you there, sir? All right, just unmuted you. You there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. How you doing, Brother Tahir?
Doing pretty good. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. Everything is good.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we just did a brief recap. And again, y'all can go listen back to the previous episode, episode 21, to see the basis of where we were going with the talk on the Gospels. And, yeah, we had a good conversation last night when we were talking about where we wanted to go and moving forward. And one of the things I just wanted to open up with, and I think it's appropriate to definitely open up with this, I want to look at really the beginning. And when I say the beginning, I don't mean John's beginning, because John took it back to the beginning, like before the beginning,
right?
You know, in the Gospel of John, you know, John goes back to creation, which is a very important aspect to look at, the spiritual side that John introduces to us there. But I'm looking at the beginning as I was doing some studying early this morning. I was looking back at the birth of Christ. Actually, prior to the birth of Jesus, I was looking at the genealogies. And you have Matthew and Luke that go through the genealogies in depth. And something I had never really paid much attention to is that Matthew did the what I would say would be a I don't know which way would be traditional, because Matthew did probably one of like the original ways that you look at genealogies. Luke, the way he described it, is the way that we would do it today. So today, what we do, if we're looking at our ancestry, we take ourselves. We go to our father and mother, or let's say if we're going down the male line, or whichever line we're going down, if we're going with our father's side first, usually we do a tree, we'll branch out, have the father on A, mother on B, and then we can go on so on and so forth, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and just go back up. And that's the way that Luke presented the genealogy there. And the main thing that I thought about, well, in Matthew said something when we look at this genealogy, some may ask, well, why, you know, Jesus, you know, if he's the coming through the line of David, but he had no biological relation to David. And
right.
he didn't have biological relation to King David because of the fact that this is through Joseph, who Joseph, in today's terms,
mm-hmm.
we look at it as Joseph being a stepfather, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what
mm-hmm.
we would look at
right.
it. But technically, when you think about it, though, usually a stepfather comes into a child's life after the child's already born. Joseph
right.
came into Jesus' life during pregnancy, you know,
right.
you know, that Joseph, you know, that he was there, you know, when it was announced about pregnancy. And the interesting thing about it, though, is unlike today, you didn't really have those terms when you look at biological or stepfather. It's really you're a child's father by law, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that Joseph accepted Mary, you know, when the angel came to him. And it's only one account that talks mm-hmm. about Joseph and the way that he dealt with the pregnancy. It's really the other gospels are centered around Mary, but Joseph, you know, they said he was a righteous and just man, and he wanted to do the right thing. He was going to put her away privately because they were engaged, and
right.
that engagement is different from today. So that does say a lot
right.
about Joseph, because marriages were arranged then. So, you know, when you
right.
talk about engagement, it's like, okay, well, you're going to marry this person for this particular reason. It's really a political thing a lot of times when it comes to marriages, and or it could be financial when you look at those that are of a lower class, as Joseph and Mary were. They weren't wealthy. And
right.
yeah, so I found it interesting that what the angel said to Joseph, he said, okay, his name is going to be Jesus. But he also said that, and here he said that his name is Jesus because he's going to save the world from their sins. And I
right.
hadn't really paid much attention to that because we know that Jesus, when we think about salvation, it's mainly taught about saving us from damnation, you know, saving us
right.
from spending eternity in hell. And this is our ticket to heaven. But more importantly, what he's saying is that Jesus is going to save them from their sins. And what stood out about that is because a sin is not just you doing malicious and wrong and evil things, but a sin is anything that separates you from God. And we talk about this often. It's anything that takes away from the original design, from creation, what man was intended to do. Now, we can definitely spend time on another show going into, you know, what sin does, but it's important because it's important that Jesus, you know, came through Mary, but the lawful side, of course, you bring Joseph back into it because the law that genealogy and the promise that's made to Abraham and that's fulfilled and made further and reiterated in David, you know, as we go
right.
along, when you think about Jesus had to have been of a virgin birth because characteristics, the human side of the characteristics that's passed through the male seed, you know, when,
right.
when it's in Genesis, when the punishment is meted out in terms of the fall of man, God also says that, you know what, we have to pretty much get him out of the garden. He says, man, we have to get man out of the garden so that he doesn't eat of the tree of life, because then he
right.
will have eternal life. And the danger of that is that when you have this corruption and you have someone who's living forever and walking in this, you know, walking in corruption, but they don't die, is really kind of horrific to think about. People lived longer at one point, but now, especially even in those early days, you did have lengthier lifespans. But
mm-hmm.
what happens is if we were to continue in that format, then we would be really worse than demonic creatures. We would be worse than Satan.
Right.
Because this
right.
is the only example that you have something that lives and lives on and it was created perfect, but lives on and continuously developed. There's no redemptive quality. So we know what happens there at the end. So it was important that the sin nature couldn't, Jesus could not have that sin nature. So Mary, you know, housing Jesus as that womb, that's how he could be the person that could save the world from sin. It has to be something perfect to save the world from sin. You know, if it's a fire, if you have to be a trained firefighter, a certified firefighter, you know, to consistently put out fires, although there could be a civilian that could do that, it's not a guarantee, you know what I'm saying? So that was just kind of what my thoughts were just opening up. I was just looking at the genealogy and just the fact that we have to focus on the fact that Jesus, his main purpose of coming here and standing in for us and becoming the Messiah, becoming our priest, you know, stepping down from his deity to become a human form and fulfill this task, it was really to save us from our sins. We can't even say save us from ourselves. It's to save us from the sin that's in us, you know. So that's how he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, because he's able to give us a different direction and give us a new nature, and hence being born again. So that's what I was opening up with there, and so I was going to your thoughts. Where are we going next?
That was great. Even as you were talking, I had thought about even as you had referred to Joseph, if we look at him today as a stepfather. I said to myself, now why is it that Joseph, after Joseph was there for a purpose, okay? We know he was there for a purpose, but we know even according to the scripture that Joseph even had questions on the virgin birth, even from God, because we know if he didn't, then God wouldn't have had to come tell him, don't put her away, you know, this is of me. So in his natural mind, he's thinking, okay, you know, what's going on, you know? But then I look at it and go further in, and I say, now, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Now, since Mary, and it's kind of going off, but it's not, but since Mary did carry the seed, did carry the child of God, does that mean now Mary, because going into salvation, does that mean now that Mary automatically qualifies for salvation just because she carried the seed of God, just because she carried the deliverer, does she automatically qualify for salvation? You see what I'm saying? Or after that, now, there was a song I used to listen to. I didn't listen to it, but I would hear it on one of the stations that I would, you know, listen to the teaching. And the song in one of the verses, the song said, who would have known that you carried the deliverer, and now the deliverer have to deliver you, you know, because it was a song about Mary. I forget how, this old classic song. Who would know that who you delivered now would have to deliver you? So my question to you is, even as we look at scriptures, does Mary, from that point on, does that automatically qualify her because God has chosen her? We know that he said, you know, thou art highly favored among all women. You know, we know that. Mm-hmm. We know that there was a specific purpose by Mary. She was chosen. She was a virgin according to natural birth. We know that. But at the same time, does Mary have does she have a special place because she carried the Messiah or the deliverer, you know? And so I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I find it, just like you said, as far as the generations, I find it interesting that in only in a couple of books where you see the generations is mentioned. And it's very significant, because I guess when we go into it later, you will see where there are certain people that Luke states that Matthew doesn't state as you look into the generation. There are
certain
people that, you see what I'm saying? But then, because there are certain reasons why, even to the point of why, just in my study, why Jesus still came through that line, even though we know of sin, but at the same time, there were certain people removed from that line through Eli's line. You see what I'm saying? Even through Eli's birth line. Remember where the scripture talks about that his family would be removed from that genealogy?
Yeah.
And you can see the scripture, but that'll be for a later time. But my question is to you again. Do you feel that automatically qualifies Mary as already for salvation, or because she was born of flesh, such as we are, there is she carried the Holy Spirit, right? She carried the Holy Spirit within her. So does that automatically qualify her for salvation because of what God chose her to do? Because we know God even allowed people that's not following him, right, for a specific purpose, to carry a specific divine purpose, a divine, see Pharaoh. Pharaoh was connected to a divine purpose that God had, because even in the scripture, God said that Pharaoh was his instrument. He used Pharaoh as his instrument. But we see that Pharaoh still, there was a judgment that came on Pharaoh because of what he did with God's people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So
just
can you elaborate on that? And just really, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question, and I hadn't really thought about it in that way prior to you asking me. But as you asked the question, I really, it's a point of it's a line of demarcation. That's what I'll say. And when I say a line of demarcation, you have people that are saved, or I'd say people that make it into heaven. Let's say people that are saved prior to Jesus, because I mean, then we have to think that the same thing. You know, people might ask about the Old Testament prophets, Old Testament saints, things of that nature. And then you have those that are saved, you know, by salvation, saved by that faith. And that could only happen after Jesus' death. So what I would say the line of demarcation would be, I mean, you have people that died during Jesus' ministry that followed him. And we are to believe that, you know, they met salvation. You know, I have no reason to think otherwise, you know, those that followed him and believed in him during his ministry. But I think that those same people, when I talk about the demarcation, I think because I walked with Jesus, and an example I'll give is Judas. Now, Judas was a close disciple. He was a close follower. He had a lot of responsibility. He was of the bishopric. Right. We know that he had a lot of responsibility, but, you know, he had that. The betrayal, he didn't reject Jesus, he betrayed him. So now being that he believed in him, because this is the same boat that Mary would be, not that she betrayed Jesus, because even though that was her son, that still he still became her Lord. So she still accepted, you know, who he was. Now that acceptance that was there, and I bring out this example with Judas. Judas, he believed in him, but he rejected him as his Lord at a point when he betrays him, you know, and so he ends up killing himself. You know, he ends up committing suicide because he couldn't live with that, because he knew what he did. Now, Mary accepted him as her Lord during his lifetime, but it's after his death what she does, as with anybody else that walked with him during that time, just like us, we have to make a decision to accept Jesus as the Lord of our life and accept the gift of salvation. So Mary, she's blessed among all women, and I just can't imagine just the presence just even being around Mary, you know,
right.
I guess you can kind of imagine it, because you do even have a segment of Christianity is not Protestant Christianity, but you got Catholicism that they
right.
almost deify Mary based on the fact that she carried. Now, and
right.
I can't take away the fact that Mary, she had some power, she had some presence. I just, you know, just the fact that she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
it was a lot to it, but there's not an exception. Even Jesus says, "Well, who was my mother? Who was my father?"
Right.
You know, who
right.
are my brothers? You know,
right.
who are
right.
these people? Because it comes
right.
to a point, you know, where you can get too familiar with someone. Just like
right.
both you and I have served my former pastor, your current pastor, co-pastor.
Right.
Both of us have served him and become close with him, but we couldn't be to the fact that we're just that close that we don't respect his title when we start calling him by his first name or talking
right.
to him, you know
right,
like
right.
you don't disrespect
right.
that. So in that sense, I would say no. It's definitely Mary wouldn't have been an automatic shoo-in. I do believe that if she would have passed before he did, based on the fact that
right.
Just like the other people tried to live righteous, like previous to that, they tried to live righteous. They tried to follow the law as best as they could, and atonement was
right.
made for them. But upon Jesus dying and being resurrected, that whole atonement process was at that moment that's done. Like, this is not how it happens anymore. You don't have a priest to stand in the gap and cover your sins like a blanket. Sin, whether you confess or not, you don't have that. What you have now is a choice, and you have to accept this high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know, we have to accept Jesus as high priest. So Mary, you know, she had to do the same thing. That's what I would strongly believe, and I would stand on that and debate that with anyone who, you know, wanted to further discuss that. I do believe that she would have to accept the gift of salvation because it's there. Because of the fact that she did witness the death, she would have to accept the
right.
gift of salvation. Just as Thomas, we give Thomas a hard time. Thomas called Didymus. Now, Thomas could have been on the realm when he didn't believe, and he had to see, like, if he hadn't touched the wound, Thomas didn't believe it. So Thomas would
right.
not have been saved, although he made him the Lord of his life. You know, he
right.
did. Thomas was one of the first that wanted to fight and wanted to kill over Jesus. People look at Peter, but Thomas was also of that mindset as well.
Right.
Wanted
right.
to defend him. So he made him the Lord of his life, but after the death, you know, he didn't believe it until he touched it. That's why, you know, bless those that, you know, believe without seeing. But he didn't believe
right.
so he could fill the wound. But Thomas would have been
right.
pretty much in the same boat as Judas, even though he didn't commit the same act as the unbelief,
right.
you know. So
right.
yeah, that would be my answer to that.
And that's good. And that's truly what I felt. I felt the same way. I just wanted to get your take on it. But I felt that everybody had to come through the same way. We do see that God does use people, allows people to be used that's not saved, but at the same time, there still has to come a point in time in one's life to where he must accept the true love of God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I do agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas is truly, I did some looking into Thomas. Thomas is truly an interesting character because just like you said, a lot of times we give Thomas a hard time because of what he did, just from one act that he did as far as doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But even going into the background of Thomas, you know, if you really go in, we can see that Thomas came from a line of business people. If you look into his history, there were a lot of business-minded people. And a lot of times, so... you know, a lot of times we have put a type of judgment on certain disciples because they acted a certain way, but not understanding where they came from. Now, anybody according to business, let's look at it. Before really faith, before really the concept of faith was instituted through Jesus Christ by God, to the degree mm-hmm. that it is now, everything was going on what they saw. You see what I'm saying? So from a business background, what does a business operate on? Business operate on results. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So if the results I'm talking pre-faith now. If the results
right, right.
not lining up, then I'm going to act according to my results. You see what I'm saying?
The evidence.
So that's right. But I'm going to act
not,
according
it's not
evidence.
Theoretical. Right,
that's
it's
right.
not theoretical
it's
business.
It's evident. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's why faith was so strong now as part of believer life. You have to believe by faith. But back then, faith hadn't come to the point that it is now because Jesus hadn't brought that ministry of faith, you see what I'm saying, to as we
right.
see it now as a Christian believer today. So in Thomas' situation, coming from a business mind, they're going to operate according to what they see with their eyes. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when Thomas
oh, yeah.
saw Jesus, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I need to see this. You understand what I'm saying? I need to
mm-hmm.
see this with my own eyes to believe it. Because aside
right.
from theoretically, let's look at literally, this is not possible. I've seen this man be crucified. You see what I'm saying? This is not
right.
possible for this man to be standing here. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times, I remember I would used to come hard against, you know, certain disciples because of how they operated. But if you
right.
don't know the history, it goes back to what you said as far as how we look at generation now. It really, even the names were through the characteristics of how the people acted. You see what I'm saying? Most
right,
names
right.
in the Bible was according to how they were, characteristics.
Right.
It described their actions. And so
and something,
I just wanted
something
to
too.
Go ahead.
Yes, because that, and it's something too, what we have to understand before being so hard on, you know, Peter with his denial three times, or, you know, Thomas doubting, or Judas even betraying. We have to understand
right.
that they were around Jesus, and it's only but so much you can grasp. They didn't understand half of what
right.
Jesus was really saying. They did. They really
right.
didn't understand.
Right.
And even if they heard repeat,
right.
they had to ask him questions. And then we'll
right.
look at it and through our lens and say, well, how can they not? Why does he have to break it down? No, you
right.
never. How can you expect someone to understand
right.
and really grasp all of what deity is giving you in 3 years, 3.5 years time? That doesn't
right.
that doesn't make
because
sense.
Look,
it's foolish for us to think that they could grasp
right.
it all like that.
Right. Because now look at us now. We have the Holy Spirit within us now to give us the
exactly.
revelation of what he's saying. Where they didn't.
Exactly.
Jesus, all they could rely on is what they saw Jesus do and what he said. Like you said,
right.
not grasping the full understanding to the fullness that we have now, because now we have the indwelling. It's in us. And it brings
right.
to us the remembrance of everything which he has spoken even to them back then. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so
absolutely.
That's why we can't sometimes look at these people hard, because let's look at the
mm-hmm.
time that they're in and the time that we're in now. The Bible
exactly.
talks about knowledge increasing. Look how much knowledge
right.
has increased, you know what I'm saying, from then
yep.
to now. It's
yep.
from then
so
to
what,
now.
What we
look
have to do,
much, right.
And I'm sorry to cut you off. We definitely have to put a pin in it. It's going
right.
to cut us off. So, I mean, we know that we'll definitely be back Tuesday at 1:30 to pick up and continue. You know, just have a few seconds left. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I thank you for opening up your word to both me, my co-hosts, all that are listening. Father, I pray that we shed light on things. I pray that people will get drawn closer to you and want to learn more of you, and also, most importantly, get saved. These and all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.